Right, so kids, adults, I'm going to need your help in a moment. Because I've got a little, I want to have a little quiz for us to see how we get on. You see, me and my daughter, we absolutely love superheroes. Okay, we particularly love Marvel. So when before my daughter was born, I didn't watch any superhero films. But when she was about three, she discovered Spider-Man. And she started watching Spider-Man. I thought, these films are quite good. And gradually I've ended up watching every single Marvel film and show on Disney Plus. And we sort of watch them all together. And whenever some comes out, and we always love like getting our tickets for when the new film comes out. So when Doctor Strange was out, we saw it on the second day. When Thor was out, we were there straight away. Because we just love watching them. And everyone, I mean, the reason we like watching superheroes, because we all kind of like heroes in our lives, don't we? We also like people to come in and help us and save the day. And I was thinking about a few films, and I was wondering, who are the real heroes in these films? So are you ready for this? I'm going to test your knowledge. Some of you won't even have a clue. Okay. Number one, the slide's not working properly. Blinking egg. Okay. Number one, who's the hero in Frozen? Who thinks it's Olaf? Who thinks the hero is Prince Hans? Who hasn't got a clue who's in Frozen? There we go. Okay. I thought there might be a few of those. Who thinks it's Elsa? Few of you. Who thinks it's Anna? Well, the right answer is Anna is the hero. Okay. She is the one at the end who comes and risks her life to save her sister's life. And she is the one who's not very smart, but she's the one who goes and does it. I'll explain why she's not smart in a minute. Okay, the next film here, right, we're going to flick through. Unfortunately, that hasn't quite worked with this firepoint animation. But Zootropolis, does anyone know who the hero is in Zootropolis? The bunny. Yeah, you guessed it right. Okay, we got this right. We're getting there. Hasn't quite. So we'll explain a bit. So with Zootropolis, what happens is you've got this young bunny who wants to go and take on the world. She goes off to the city where the lions and all the cheetahs and everything else are involved. And she eventually saves the day. She eventually works out who the night howlers were. Now, if you've ever watched this film, you'll know I'm talking about this night howlers. I remember having a full-on argument with my three-year-old nephew about what the meaning of this film was. And he thought it was something different, and I thought it was something else as well. So I'm quite good at this film. I love this one. The next one, Angry Birds. Anyone like Angry Birds?
Yes.
Oh, we got to love Angry Birds. Does anyone still play the game? No. Did anyone used to play the game? A few of you did. Okay. I've got some for you older guys in a minute. Don't worry. I'm not leaving you out. Okay. Angry Birds. You've got a bird there in the middle. You've got Red. He's the hero. But Red is probably like quite a lot of us blokes. He is a grumpy man who just wants to live by himself and have no one disturb him. Does anyone else feel like that sometimes?
Yes.
Yes. And in the end, all he wants to do is get rid of the pigs. And the only reason he starts becoming the hero is because the pigs have disturbed him. If they disturbed everyone else, it'll be okay. And he ends up saving the day, this grumpy old man. Nice easy one here. Who is the hero?
James Bond.
James Bond. There we go. He's not your, he's like your standard typical hero. He's a bit boring, so we're going to skip past him very quickly. But here we go. Here's someone I'm going to talk about in a moment. Does anyone know who that is?
Yes.
Peter Parker. Does anyone know who Peter Parker is? Anyone not know who Peter Parker is? This is education for your grandkids, to chat to your grandkids and everyone else, okay? This guy, Peter Parker, he is my daughter's hero, I think, in life. And he is Spider-Man. And as you see, these guys here, these are unknown little characters I'm going to talk more about in a moment. But these guys aren't the heroes you expect. You've got Anna, who is not the smartest person in the book. Anyone else who meets someone within 5 minutes sings a song about how they're going to spend the rest of their life with them is crazy, okay? You don't follow them. She does everything wrong, but she follows her heart and she eventually becomes a hero. You've got Red, the grumpy old man, okay? who eventually saves the day. You've got the naive Judy Hopps sitting over here who saves the day. And then you've got Peter Parker. And I quite like Peter Parker because he's a guy who's, there's another picture of him, a different film. He's a chap who's a bit geeky. He doesn't really achieve much. He tries to get a girlfriend. It doesn't really go very well for him. And one day he gets bitten. Who's that? Oh, is that a good one? That's you. Oh. Why aren't you that nice to me, girls? And what happens is, my friend used to get called Daddy Pig instead, so you get a good compliment there. But Peter Parker's a guy, ordinary guy from New York. He gets bitten by a radioactive spider. And what happens is, he's just normal. His life changes completely. And he gets the ability to become Spider-Man. And he swings and webs his way around New York. And he becomes a vigilante. But the thing that's amazing about it, even though Spider-Man is really, really powerful, the police hate him. The newspapers hate him. So many people hate him. This really controversial figure. Some people think he's marvelous, but actually the majority of people, they kind of don't like Spider-Man that much. He's like a little bit suspicious of him. And they just want Spider-Man out of the way. And they see Spider-Man as a little bit of an inconvenience. He's not someone who they want around. But underneath it all, Spider-Man is still just Peter Parker. Then one day, Peter Parker, depending on which film you're watching, but the film we're talking about now, Amazing Spider-Man, the police get themselves into a place where they haven't got a clue what to do. And Peter, as Spider-Man, comes face to face with the chief of police. And now the chief of police, just to add a little bit into him, is his father-in-law, potentially future father-in-law. It's not someone who's going to like him, is it, really? And eventually, the chief of police realizes this. He realizes that he can't save New York by himself, that he needs Spider-Man. And he turns around and he says to Peter Parker, Spider-Man, he says, you just need to go and do it. You need to go and save New York. And the chief police allows Spider-Man to save the day. And what happens, because it's a superhero film, who saves the day?
Spider-Man.
But the police needed to let Spider-Man do his job. And we're going to learn about someone now called Moses. I invite you up, Richard. Richard's going to read us a story now about Moses and about an incident that happened. Thank you, Richard. Richard's my favorite storyteller at the moment, so I'm going to invite him up to read for us. Thank you, Richard.
Actually, I was not interested in your story. I forgot it.
There's one thing about Jim, he always gives me big print to read.
So I can do a few actions if you want to with this story, and I can soon pick the place up again. God himself guided the Israelites as they traveled out of Egypt into the wilderness beyond. Day by day he appeared as a column of cloud, and by night as a column of fire, so they could follow him. Just imagine, cloud and fire all the times. The Israelites had reached the sands of the Red Sea when they noticed a massive cloud of dust behind them, and in the distance, rushing towards them at great speed. And we all know what dust is like this year, don't we, with the dry weather. It was the Egyptian army. A minute that Pharaoh had ordered the Israelites to leave, he regretted his decision. In a whirlwind of hatred, he called for his best armor and ordered 600 of his finest charioteers to make ready to chase after his former slaves. I can just imagine all those charioteers whipping the horses, coming like the clappers. The Israelites were terrified and turned on Moses. Did you lead us out of here, this captivity, only to meet our deaths in the desert? They cried. Don't be afraid, Moses told them. The Lord will protect you, and wait and see. God spoke to Moses, telling him what to do. The Egyptian army, thundering ever closer. You can just imagine the hooves and that, can't you, thudding over the dry desert. Moses urged the Israelites forward, straight towards the Red Sea. Then a column of cloud blew over Pharaoh and his charioteers, smothering them so they could not see their way ahead. While the bewildered, prostrated Egyptians were forced to slow their pace, Moses reached the foaming seashore and stretched out his hands towards the ocean. An immense wind blew up and sweeping the Israelites off their feet. It howled, it hurled with great gusts this way and that way and split the waves. The wind above the waters to the right and to the left, higher and higher until it rolled back, leaving a wide pathway of the seabed between them. Bravely and boldly, Moses strode out down to the sand, leading the Israelites between the towering walls of water on either side. Then came the Egyptian army, galloping forwards. How petrified they were when they saw the waters of the Red Sea divided in front of them. Yet they plunged into the passage. At last, as the last of the Israelites reached the sandy shore on the other side, Pharaoh and his charioteers sped closer to the Israelites. Moses stretched out his hand once more. Then the towering walls of water teetered, toppled, and crashed down. You can just imagine the roar, can't you? The Red Sea closed over the Egyptians, drowning each and every one, and the Israelites were truly free at last. There you are, Jim.
So here you have the story of Moses facing the sea. You've got the armies coming against him with Pharaoh, and all the Israelites are looking at Moses and saying, Moses, what are we going to do? You ever have that moment when you haven't got a clue what to do? And maybe when you were younger and you went to your parents, what am I going to do? Maybe you went to your teacher, what am I going to do? Or someone else, what am I going to do? And there's nothing. They wanted Moses to be the hero. And Moses does something a little bit crazy. He says to them, guys, let's just stop and let's let God be God in this moment. Let's stop and let's let God be God. Can we say that together? Let's stop and let God be God. And it's one of those moments, it's not the sort of thing you do, is it? When you're rushing around, you're panicking, you think you're going to die, okay, you think you'll be taken back to captivity, they stop and they let God be the hero. And do you know the amazing thing was? When Moses put his stick out across the water, it wasn't Moses' power that opened up the water. It was God's power that opened up the water. And in that situation, I want to suggest something, that God was an unlikely hero. In the same way that Peter Parker is an unlikely hero, and Honor is an unlikely hero, and Red is an unlikely hero, God was an unlikely hero. Because everyone was looking to Moses, but it was God who saved them. And you know, sometimes we can look to other people to help us. And that's really good. So sometimes if you're a kid at school, you can ask your teachers to help you. That's really good. You can ask your parents to help you. You can ask your friends to help you. But sometimes, actually quite often, we need to allow God to help us. Say to the person next to you, you need to allow God to help you. And it's a really simple message. It's not a really fancy one. But I remember once sitting with Pastor Edwin in the office over there. We're talking about something and I had an issue. And he said, Jim, stop trying to fix everything yourself and trust God. I might shut up. Okay. But isn't that sometimes the truth? I think I said it to him a few times as well. But actually, sometimes we need to stop. We need not to rely on everyone else, but we need to rely on God. There's a really good verse. I think flick next one, yeah. Hopefully we go. It says this, it's in Thessalonians. It says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you." Can we say that together? "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you." You know, this verse is so true. You might have come to church today and you've got so much going on. And you might be like, "I haven't got a clue what to do. I just haven't got a clue what to do." Can I suggest to you, stop. Let God be the unlikely hero in your situation. Yesterday we baptized a girl in water, AXA. I'm thinking that me and Pastor have been out of a job. She's 14 years old, but she spoke with such clarity. And she turned around and she said this, this is from a 14-year-old's mouth. She said, "Whatever you're going through," she said, "give it to God, because God will help you." And she just keeps going through the list of situations. She said, "God will help you." And you know what? Sometimes we need to listen to our young people. We mustn't put them down. It's true, isn't it? God wants to help you. God wants to strengthen you. But you need to allow him. You know what? God came into this world as Jesus to help us, to guide us, to restore us into relationship with him. Because he cares. And today, you might be feeling guilty about something. Some of this happened, and maybe it was your fault or it wasn't your fault, and you can't release that guilt. I want to encourage you, stop, give it to God today. Maybe you're here and you feel lonely. You feel like everything seems to go against you. Everyone else has got friends and you haven't. Jesus wants to help you. Maybe school or college is really hard. You might have just been just so fed up, but work could be terrible. God wants to help you. You maybe got discontented in life and you just can't seem to enjoy life. And you're desperate for life to feel great again. Jesus wants to help you. He doesn't always take away our problems. But sometimes he opens up new ways for us to go. I just want to finish just quite simply by saying this. We need to stop trying to be the hero. Instead, we need to learn to trust the one who can really save us, who's God. We need to stop trying to do everything ourselves, but we need to be like the police chief in Amazing Spider-Man, who turns around and says, "Spider-Man, just go and do what you need to do." We need to be the same. We need to allow God to be our unlikely hero. But the thing about God is this, God's a gentleman. God won't come in if you don't allow him to come in. He won't force his will on you. So I want to encourage us for a moment. Can we stand again? We're coming into land so you can breathe. You know, you could have come to church today and you're just really fed up. Listen, if you did the football score and the cricket score yesterday, you know why I didn't want to come to church today. Okay? But you know, sometimes life goes bad and some of you got serious stuff. And some of you have been squabbling maybe and rushing around trying to fix things. And there's just some stuff you just can't fix at the moment. I believe that little message today is for you. That God says, "Let me be your unlikely hero." Some of you maybe aren't even sure if God exists. And God says, "Give me a try. Let me be your unlikely hero in your situation." Some of you can't see a way out of what you're facing. But let's allow God to be the hero. And just for a moment, just in quiet, just close your eyes. And if you've got a situation that you're really struggling with, just give it to God right now and say, "God, I'm choosing to trust you." In the same way the Israelites and Moses just said, "Stop and be still and allow God to be God." Lord, I'm just choosing right now to stop, be still, and allow you to be you. Father God, I pray for each situation that's just been mentioned, Lord. You know the struggles people are going on and behind the scenes. Lord, and we pray as we sung earlier on, I pray in the name of Jesus to break addictions, to break anxiety, to break sickness, Lord. We pray that over each of these situations that's been handed over to you, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you will be the hero in these situations, Lord. Father God, where there seems no other option, I pray, Father God, you would open doors that we couldn't have imagined, Lord. Father God, I pray when doctors are giving bad reports that we'll hear news of great reports, Lord, of the miracles that you've done. Lord, Father God, we pray depression will be lifted off people, Lord. You'd help them to work through it, Jesus. I pray, Lord, sadness and sickness will be broken in this place, Father God. Not just for those who are here right now, those who can't make it as part of our church family as well, Lord, but also across our community, Lord. We pray that you would lift off those things that are holding it back right now, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that it wouldn't be about us being the hero, Lord, but it'll be all about you being the unlikely hero. We pray that in your very precious name. Amen. Amen. I'll give it to you, sir.
All right, then. Let's. I think this is a good time to do the tithes and offering as we take the last song.